started looking at the five fingers of leadership. The first finger of leadership, the ability to inspire, very important. The ability to inspire, beautiful, beautiful. That means you are learning well. Okay. Okay, the ability to inspire. So we said you're going to be inspiring by your actions, by your words, by your life in general. And that is a very strong force to cause people to follow. And then we looked at the second one. Again, what was the second one? Can you remember? The ability to teach. The ability to teach. The ability to teach. Today, I gave you a promise that I was going to share with you certain practical things that is going to make you a good teacher of the Word of God. Now, I cannot call myself a good teacher of the Word. Somebody will have to do that for me. But I believe that I give it my best to the extent or to the grace God has given me, right? So we spoke about how that teaching was an important and essential ability of a bishop. I said the word a bishop there is not what we see in quotes. You know, when somebody has a clerical, the person is a bishop, it means the person has a large tummy, you know, and has a deep voice and enjoys in SUVs. He's a bishop. Now, the word bishop, there's the word episcopos, means one that oversees a people. So it's a responsibility over a people. I said the people can be five, they can be 50. Right? They can be 1,000, they can be 10,000. Simply, anybody playing the role of an overseer of people is a bishop of those people. It's just a simple word. It's just like the word apostolos, not too complicated, which is the word apostle. It means a sent one, basically. So anyone who is sent is an apostle. You know, it's like the word prophet, which is a spokesperson. You speak for God, you stand in the stead of a prophet. It's like an evangelist. You know, it's like a crown or a town teller. You know, somebody who stands to beat the gong gong and tell out people what the king says. It's as simple as that. It's not too complicated, right? So, a pastor, of course, poimen, a leader of sheep, used to characterize, you know, somebody that cares and that nurtures, takes care of a sheep. A teacher, right? Somebody that teaches, communicates the word of God. And I said that you would realize that in Matthew 28, Jesus already gives an instruction to teach. Verse 18, it says, all power is given unto me. He tells his disciples, go ye therefore into all nations of the world, and make disciples of all nations. He tells them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've taught you. It means the believer has a responsibility to teach. We saw how that a bishop must be apt to teach, able to teach. So in your discipleships, if you cannot teach, you already are not taking heed to Jesus' instruction. There must be the ability to teach. To teach. To teach. In fact, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul is writing a letter to his protege, Timothy. And there was a very clear instruction. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I go into Macedonia, that thou may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. It means Timothy's responsibility was to ensure himself that he taught what needed to be taught and charged others not to teach what needed not to be taught. So we could tell that Timothy was definitely a teacher of the gospel. Of course, what was he going to teach? 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. What was Timothy? Of course, he was a teacher. I just want to show you that he was a teacher. So he says that, and the things that thou hast received of me, what things? Of course, doctrine should be in there. So he says, the things that you have heard of me. That brings us to how you're going to be a good teacher. The things that you have heard of me. The same. The same. Teach it the same way. Timothy. Paul didn't say that. Go and teach something very deep. You know, do they want deep? Say, Revi. No. The thing that you have heard of me, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's almost like, you know, a clan of teachers is about to be raised under Timothy's watch by Paul's giving instruction. So you must begin to pay attention to your teaching. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2, it says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, giving to hospitality, apt to teach. You must be able to teach. You must be able to call your disciple and teach. That's how you teach. Now, I said that the teaching there will mean that, of course, it's going to be by precepts and by example, right? So you're going to be able to speak to them, show them the word of God, and your life also becomes an example. And this teaching by example is very amazing. You know, one time I went somewhere and I saw a guy that used to have rasta, right? He used to have rasta. So the next time I went to the place, the guy didn't have the rasta any longer. So I was curious because I was just curious. I just wanted to know, you know, from his teacher or his discipler, whether he was literally told to go and scrape off the rasta. So I was having a conversation with his disciple, and I asked the disciple, I said, oh, I realized this guy had gone to cut his hair. Did you tell him heads on to go cut it? He said, no, he didn't tell him. He said, no. He said the guy just got up one day and just decided he was going to go cut the hair. Now, why? Because he literally sees that his teacher does not have that hairstyle. Or at least his pastor does not have that hairstyle. That's how powerful it is. It's true. Sometimes you even see that a group of people look in a certain way. They dress in a certain way. They have a certain kind of classes or groups of hairstyles. That's how important teaching is. So that you don't go and sit somewhere and you blow your hair yellow, green, indigo, violet. And you say, don't judge me. Is that what you see? We are not judging you. Is that what you see? What you see around, is that what you see? So, by example, you are going to be teaching people If you don't dress well, I'm telling you, your disciples are also going to learn not to dress well. Because you are the first representation of what they see. You come to service. Instead of you should be serious in the service, you are not. You are sleeping, pressing your phone, chit-chatting, talking to someone, moving outside. You come to church, you move outside, come back, come in, move out, come in, move out. You can't sit down, without urinating for 4 hours. You can't sit down without urinating for 4 hours. Say, I want to urinate. I want to urinate. I want to urinate. You alone, you have urinated. So when you live your life like this, you teach something. Unknowing to you, you teach them that it is okay to get up and move out. Meanwhile, if you go for visa interview and they tell you sit somewhere for 4 hours, you will sit there for 5 hours. Complete. You won't complain. Because the moment you get up and go, what if they call you? See, what if they call you? So you say, no, I can't go. Let me sit here till they call me. Even when you make an attempt to go, the speed with which you walk in and out, I mean out and in, is quite amazing. So, in teaching, you're going to be teaching by example. What time do you make the service? What time do you come in? You walk in at any time. The people you raise are also going to learn that because you become that example. Well, that's not the exact kind of teaching I'm talking about, but that's also some kind of teaching, which is also part. But today, I'm talking about the teaching that comes with precepts. You're going to take the Bible. How are you going to be able to teach the people? The things that you have heard of me, number one, is how you begin to become a good teacher. You know the things that have been said to you. You know the things that have been said to you. The things that have been said to me, the same, you know it, the same. He says, commit them to faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. The same. I'm telling you, your teaching ministry is going to be better if you can teach the same. In your discipleship groups. In your discipleship groups. Are you able to listen to a sermon and teach the same? A teaching and vomit it the same? You know, it's an apostolic way that God built the church. Even Jesus did not have his own revelation. When Jesus was there, you find him reading the scriptures in the temple. He read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You find him reading the law. You find him reading the prophets. So everything that he said was coined from the law and from the prophets. The apostles did not have anything they say. They picked it from the gospels, which were the words of Jesus, picked from the prophets and then the law. So there's a consistency in what is said. The foundational apostles did not have anything they say. Paul's epistles were coined from the foundational apostles, which is the happenings of Acts. Then he picks it also from the Gospels, then he picks it from the prophets, then he picks it from the law. So there's a consistency to what is being done. So you don't just say what you want to say. There's a consistent pattern to which doctrine is built. We also will pick it right from Paul's epistles and the epistles, then the Gospels, then the law, and the prophets. So in this church we are, you don't just say anything because you heard it from some skit. Or you heard it from some kind of revelatory preacher. You say, yeah, but you see, sometimes in the first heavens, there's something you have to demystify, ascend into the second heavens to unravel. And there's a certain kind of synesthetism and a certain kind of protantonism and depth of revelation in the circumspectia of the... Me, myself, I'm confused. I don't even know what I'm saying. That's how confused they are. Eh? So you don't just pick it and say that, oh, that is it. An angel of the Lord of the third order met me at 9 by 12 p.m. in the morning and handed unto me this Ukrus and Urims and Turims and Skukrus. You are becoming a bad teacher because when we look at what you are saying, it's not consistent with what we have been teaching all the while. And you see, I have always prayed to God and I've asked God for a ministry of a teacher that is simple even for babes to understand. Everybody should be able to understand. Huh? Use me, I read dictionary. For my leisure. You see me reading dictionary. I read dictionary for my leisure. But you don't see me use very heavy, confusing words continually. It's not even there. I maybe know words more than people who use whatever. You see? So when you say that the episcopus and the uskupuskus and the... I say, hey, Charlie, can you help us? We don't know what you are talking about. Santuranus. Hey! Help us, help us, help us. We are sorry. So the same thing that has been committed to you, the same thing, pick it, teach it. Sanctus, primus, ultimus, taribus. Say, hey, what is that? Come again, sir. Sanctus, yes, Sanctus, S. primus. Hey, we don't even know. Say, the hidden connotation and the hidden, oh. You know, we have to be careful. If not, we'll create people who love to listen. You know, Paul calls them fables and endless genealogies. You say, my spiritual pattern is from Angel Michael. When Angel Michael, you don't really know it, but you see, when Angel Michael gave birth, hey, Michael gave birth, then we are now wondering, what scroll do you use? You say, oh, it's a secret Dead Sea scroll. Yeah, it's only given to the sons of Sceva. We say, but sons of Sceva, were they not the one that they were last? You know, you say, no, there's another sons of Sceva. There's a sons of Sceva somewhere. We are now confused. We are now looking, where is sons of Sceva? You know? Someone some time ago texted me, and the person said, I think you belong to this clan. I said, hey. I said, hey, a clan. Huh? Show me the clan. So the person mentioned a certain clan of Jews. I said, hey, these Jews that even Jesus Christ was messing up, lashing here and there. Of course, he loved them. But then they don't even believe that he is the Messiah. He himself, they don't believe him. They are waiting for him. They are waiting for him to appear. He's the one you are trying to relate me to. I refuse it in Jesus' name. A clan. We belong to this clan of the third order of apostles. Hey, the things that you have been taught. The same thing. Pick those same things and give them to the people. And when I say the same thing, I mean the same thing. I've had to call some teachers and say, hey, what are you teaching? The same thing, not some other thing, the same thing. So in being a good teacher, an excellent teacher, you didn't see what my Rima director wrote. I'm not using that, but that's what he wrote. Yes, a teacher of the word with clarity and power. But you say you don't want clarity and power. See, a teacher with clarity and power. It means that the word of God comes powerfully, as simple as it is. It doesn't need to sound very, you know, confusing. You pick it. And you would teach it. Is the first step. Number two. Be in constant preparation. Is the second thing to do. To become a good teacher. In constant preparation. I'm going to show you how in constant. Because some of you will not take it seriously. Be in constant preparation. Number one, your quiet time. Your quiet time. I can't emphasize how important and how powerful this aspect of being a teacher is. Your quiet time. Where you just meditate on the word of God. And you speak it to the word to yourself. You know, even as a pastor, I have to preach the word to myself. I preach it to you, but I have to preach it to myself. And that's through meditation, is that you say it to yourself again. You think about it. You mutter it under your breath. You speak about it loudly. You are building yourself to becoming an excellent teacher of the word of God. In the meditations of God's word, you're reading the Bible, you're listening to the sermon, or you're listening to the sermons, or you're praying, or you're doing all together. But then there's just yourself. You're thinking about it. You're saying it to yourself. You are thinking about it. 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 I take time to meditate on God's word. Something as very practical as prayer life. You know what I said on Sunday? I had to sit down. And while I was thinking about it, it just hit me. Prayer life. Ah, it means that this thing is a life on its own. Huh? Oh, if it's a life on its own, that means that, hey, it has feelings. It can move. It can shout. It can talk. I've not heard it from anywhere. I'm just sitting down trying to think on it. And think on the word of God. You don't sit down to think on it. How are you going to be a good teacher of other words, your quiet times will make you an excellent teacher of the Word of God. You have a book, you have a Bible, you have a pen. Sometimes you can read maybe 4 chapters, 5 chapters, 6 chapters, 1 chapter. But then there's a verse, a particular verse that you keep in your heart. A particular verse that you keep in your heart. I started reading Timothy. I love Timothy. I feel like Timothy, I relate to Timothy many of the times. I stopped at Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I've been thinking about it. Wow. So he left him there, actually, that he should not. He should charge others to teach no other doctrine. And I stayed on it. Yeah. And I was just there trying to think, oh, wow, that's really beautiful. Timothy is left there so that he will defend doctrine. Wow, how can I defend doctrine? How important is Paul's doctrine and doctrine to the church? It means that it's important. It means that the man of God is going to be the reason why the doctrine of the church is kept well. Oh, wow, that blesses me. How do I apply that? As a pastor, what you teach the people is important. You are the one going to form God in their hearts by what you teach them. Very applicable. I told you that memorization of verses, it can be pretty simple. You don't have to say, John chapter 1 verse 2, verse 2. Yes, you know, there's quite an extent. But there's a time where reading it and thinking on it over and over again, it sticks like a glue. Like today, like this, I just stumbled while reading. Of course, I stayed on 1 Timothy 1 verse 3. Then I moved to read. Then verse 12, I couldn't move again. I thank my Lord Jesus Christ, who has enabled me, that he has counted me faithful and he has put me in the ministry. For I was once, I'm giving you practically, I was once a persecutor. Injurious is the last one. You see, I'm not memorizing it. I took time thinking on it. Now I don't even need to say, yes, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Yes, it's there because I'd read it over and over again and I pray over it and I thank God for the ministry he's called me into. He has enabled me. He has put me in the ministry. He's counted me faithful. I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious fellow. I'm not looking at it. I'm just saying that I've sat on it and I've thought about it and I've thanked God for it. I've meditated on it. I've spoken it. I've said it again. But God has decided to be merciful to me. So you see, that's how it comes together. It comes together like that. Then later on, you can now put it in your notepad and then you now start to recite it. But that time, it would have stuck in your heart. It would have stuck in your heart. So you meet somebody one day and the person will say, do you know me? I've really sinned, pa, but you are preaching to me from John 3:16, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And you are also telling me that God has called me into the ministry. So I should give myself to him. Romans chapter 2. You're telling me that God has called me also into the ministry. Then you will not know what to say. When you don't know what to say, you see that 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 will come to your heart. What does 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 say? Oh, he has counted me faithful. He has enabled me. Paul was once a persecutor. You see that? A blasphemer. An injurious fellow. That is something to say to the person to convince the person that God can use you also as well. But because look at Paul. Because look at Paul. Look at his criteria. And then you now start to say, okay, let me show you something in 1 Timothy chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And then you open it. You say, hey, so me too, I can become. You say, yes, it's true. Then you now say, even me, I also was like that. I didn't like to serve God. You're already getting something. And when it's cooked from your quiet time, you see, it's cooked from there. It's taught. You think about it. You pray about it. You think about it. You pray about it. You think about it. You say to yourself, it becomes real. The word of God begins to jump into people's heart like that. It's powerful. It moves right in. And it produces an effect. But if it's not had an effect on you, going to have an effect on them. If it's not had an effect on you, it's not going to have an effect on them. If it has not taken place in your heart, you probably cannot make someone else weep. If it has not hit you, it will not hit somebody. You become a dispenser. Of reality. So your quiet times could be a good teacher by having quiet times. Quiet times. See, I've made it simple for you. Why do you want Urim and Thummim and Stubus and Palubus? Your quiet times. Your quiet times. Your quiet times. So you're going to live in constant preparation. Constant preparation, number one, quiet times. You don't just jump off your bed, you're off. No, there will not be words bubbling enough in your heart, powerful enough to produce a change. Number two, you're listening. To the sermons, to the teachings. We're almost done. We'll continue. You're listening to the sermons. See, some of you, you have to start taking this, your ministry you say you want to do, very seriously. A minister doesn't have, you don't have a tape or a speaker, Bluetooth speaker, you don't have. Earpiece you don't have. You are walking a kilometer to go and get something or whatever meters. You are just there. You don't listen to anything. Nothing playing around you. No listening to. No. You don't become a good teacher like that. You don't become a good teacher like that. Huh? It comes by frequent and constant listening. It has to be frequent. It has to be constant. It's playing like every time something is playing around you. Yeah. Something is playing every time. There's something playing. Something has to be playing. It's either a song, because the songs also teach or they instruct. A sermon. A certain kind of teaching. It's just always playing. You're always listening. You're in constant preparation. Always listening. Always listening. Always listening. I listen every time. To an extent, I have to tell myself, like, hey, you have to be careful. Because everywhere I go, if I enter somewhere, it's with me. If I'm going to stay somewhere for a long time, it's with me. As even now, I don't seem to. I had speakers in all shapes. Now I just have two. Those times I had a speaker, a real speaker that can bring a building down. Then a speaker that can do some work. Then another small speaker that maybe when I sit down and I don't want any noise, I want to listen something, you know, faintly, small one is there. You see me holding it. It has to be plain. You see that as you listen to it, your teaching is changing. Your teaching changes. The way you teach, it changes. It has an impact. It has an influence. Yeah, it has an influence. You see that things will be jumping off and entering you while you sleep in the sermon. Come out of it. You sleep in it. Come out of it. You sleep in it. You come out of it. You sleep on it. You come. Things will just be moving up. There's a heightened level. You can easily receive supernatural things. Yeah. But if you don't have that around you, you're not going to be good. Number four, you're going to make use of reading materials recommended by your pastor. Those of you who don't like to read, how are you going to be a good teacher if you don't read? How are you going to be a good teacher if you don't read? How are you going to be a good teacher if you don't read? Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. How are you going to be a good teacher if you don't read? You have to read the books that have been given to you. You don't read them. You read page one. You have left it. Page one, only page one. Page one. Page one. Highest page two. You don't read. You say, oh, mine is not reading. Mine is listening. Hey, you heard me. I mentioned listening and reading. Books recommended by your pastor. Say, pastor, you've recommended just four. Keep reading the four till tomorrow. Recommendations are made. Pastor, I just say, keep reading. Even those ones you've not read. I can say that many of you have not read the materials I have given to you. You have not read it. Many of you watching me right now, you have not read it. Common short post, you will not read. You will not read. You just can, I know what it's talking about. I know what it's talking about. First line, second line. I know what it's. I've read it before. How are you going to be a good teacher? How are you going to be a good teacher? So from today, you say, this is how it's done, Okay. I'm also going to give myself to it. You see, I'm not hiding anything from you. I'm telling you all that it is. Okay. This is how it's done. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to do it too. You go and do it. You listen. You write. You take notes. You listen. You cover. You do the. You read. You listen. 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 You read. You write. You listen. Your quiet time mixed up in there. You see that when you start to preach, it will come at you. Yeah. Words will come to you. It will be demanded to be spoken, and then it will be spoken. Now, there are just some things that happen as a function of God's grace. Some things as clarity, communication. But I believe it comes with time. I didn't start teaching the way I'm teaching today. And I definitely will not teach the way I'm teaching now in a year's time. It just happens with growth. How many of you realize that I'm not teaching now the way I used to teach before then? It's not the same. You too, you also get better. See? How many of you have seen that? My teaching ministry has become better. Much better. You see? Mm-hmm. You see? It gets better as you go. You see? It gets better as you go. You get better. You become more sharper. Your communication becomes more clearer. You see? You become more, you know, like you hit the right spot when you need to. Yeah. But it starts with using what you have. Starts with that. You don't use what you have, you cannot become what God wants you to become. You're going to read. Read. Make sure you read the materials given you by your pastor. Because they are, if I tell you to go and read Trouble, I'll have Urim and Thummim and Santumus and Primunus. But I can't be working in vain. So I keep track of the knowledge that you have. So they have to be recommended by me. I say, we want to give you a book. He said, please. I would have to find out if it's a material I can read before I read it. Yeah, because knowledge has to be guarded. I know somebody who read books and then started believing in strange things. So as a pastor, I'm very intentional. So books are powerful. So you're going to be in constant progression by reading always. Paul read always. Let's look at our last scripture before you go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul is telling Timothy, bring the cloak I left behind. This was one of his last instructions to Timothy. Bring the cloaks that I left behind with Carpus at Troas. When you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Paul is saying that come with my books. They are very important to you. Come with them. Timothy, I left a cloak. Tell Troas to bring it for me. When he's coming, I have some important books. I have some important books. Bring them along. Because I'm a reader. I'm going to have to read those books again and again and again and again. I see you becoming a good teacher. Yeah, like when you stand there. Mm-hmm. You see, people are now confused. I spoke about this prophecy. I used to say this. I said, it will get to a time in our lives. I believe it's extending to you all. They will not know whether you are a teacher, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a prophet, whether you are an apostle. It will just be works spilled all over. I see that confusion now. Yeah. And I will keep seeing them. He's a pastor. He's an apostle. He's a healing evangelist. He's not a healing evangelist. Since when did he become a healer? Oh, I saw his healings. That's going to be your story. And that's what they'll first say about your teaching ministry. Nobody saw it coming. They never saw it coming. You have been in constant preparation. You're preparing. You're listening to the sermons. You are teaching as you have been taught. You're reading the materials. You are listening constantly. You know, your quiet time, A1, you are on it every single time. You're giving to it. Every single time, you're going to be giving to it constantly, a constant thing that you do, a constant thing that you do. And now, everybody listen to me. I'm going to tell you from here, prepare one sermon. Everybody, I don't have water in my mouth. Prepare one sermon from the things that you have learned and know that sermon very well. Are you listening? Such that when there's no book, you can quote that sermon back to back, front to line, middle to center. Say, let me preach to you. Seven things you must prepare for in the gospel. Let's go. You should have a sermon like that, that you can preach
from the sermons that when we put you down, you can start. This example, you can say from start to finish, you can say everything. Yes. So that one day when you are called to preach, you see, so, oh, can you share something with us, brother? Say, you don't know what you are talking about. I've been constantly preparing for this thing constantly. Constantly. Huh? What did you say? Pastor, what did you say? Constant. Constant. You say what? I should come and preach to your disciples? Or I should come and preach to what? I'm coming. And also, the ones that you don't even are not sure, they say, can you preach to us about salvation? You must also be able to do that. So, God is helping us to be good teachers. Still in our conversation of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Teaching the things that have been committed to us, we know how to teach it. We know how to teach. Explain. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for awesome gifts of teaching. You must believe that is a gift. I know where I received the gift. And that gift is working in you as well. Yes, it's working. It's working. It's a gift too. Just like the way you stand, like maybe you stand to prophesy. The teaching gift is like that. Yeah, it's like that. I have it by the grace of God. I'm telling you that's how it is. There are many places I went to. I did not even stand to prepare. But I taught better, clearly. But you have to be constantly prepared. Because if you, it will come to you. But if you don't know the verse and the chapter, what would you do? It will be coming like that, son. You see that a scripture wants to come. The Holy Spirit wants to give you a scripture, but you don't read you don't have quiet time. You'll be saying, yes. Let's skip another time. Constant preparation. It will make you an excellent good teacher. An excellent good teacher. And that's how you'll be able to make disciples. Don't forget, our foundation is Matthew 28. Talking about fingers of leadership. You'll be able to make disciples.